So did y'all enjoy getting church off last week when it was snow? Yeah, no clapping. And that would have been our council chair that was clapping, by the way. Last week, we were going to celebrate the birth or the baptism of Jesus Christ. And so I thought, that's an important event in the life of the church. So we're going to push that a week. So Mark read the correct scripture for this week, which was about Jesus' first miracle and the sign act that he performed in changing water into wine. Today, though, I want to take some time and look at another sign act that Jesus did when he, as the one who was born perfect, presented himself for baptism, and talk a little bit about what this means for us, both biblically and within the traditions of the church. The scripture that we read today comes from the New Testament, better known as the New Covenant of Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about what that covenant means and why it's new. But I'd also like to read today from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, 21, and 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved, my son. With you I am well pleased. These stories of Jesus' baptism, we also hear about his baptism in Matthew's gospel, help us to frame this idea of being incorporated into God's family. At the end of his ministry, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, commands them actually in Matthew 28, to go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So from the beginning to the end of his ministry, Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection are all grounded in baptism. Baptism involves dying to sin, newness of life, union with Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit, and incorporation into Christ's church. Of the two sacraments that we have in the United Methodist Church, Holy Communion and baptism, I believe that there is less clarity about baptism, what it really is, what it constitutes, what it means. And so I'd like to spend some time with you today unpacking it a bit. As you probably know, in 1968, the United Methodist Church was formed out of the Methodist Church and Methodist Episcopal Church and the EUB, or the Evangelical United Brethren. Each of these predecessor denominations had a concept of what baptism was. The Methodist Articles of Religion state that baptism is a sign of regeneration and of new birth. And the Confession of Faith of the Evangelical United Brethren states, baptism is a representation of the new birth in Jesus Christ and is a mark of Christian discipleship. In both the Old and the New Covenant, God enters into covenant relationship with God's people. As we've talked about, I just want to reiterate, a covenant involves promises and responsibilities that bind both parties. It's instituted through a special ceremony, and it's expressed by a distinguishing sign. By covenant, God constituted a servant community of people of Israel, promising to be their God and giving them the law to make clear how they were to live. The sign act of incorporation was the circumcision of the males. That was what was the sign of being bound in this covenant with God in physical form. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God fulfilled the prophecy of a new covenant and called forth the church to be a servant community. Jeremiah 31 says it beautifully this way. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. As the church moved into the apostolic age, baptism by water and the Spirit became inextricably connected. Christians were baptized with both, sometimes by different sign actions. Some of you here today may have been baptized by immersion. Some of you perhaps by having water poured over you. Others perhaps by having water sprinkled on you. Different sign acts, but the same covenant of baptism. Water is always administered in the name of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is also invoked by laying on of hands in the presence of the congregation. Please understand that we don't do private baptisms. And I'm often asked if we could get together at someone's house or just come in here alone, you know, and as it was put to me early in my ministry at a church farther south, fix my baby. Perhaps some of you have heard that. We come together because this is a covenant that God makes with the individual in the presence of a congregation that promises to be faithful in helping that individual mature in faith. So it's always done here among us. And Mark, you get the honor of being able to celebrate that with us today as well. Baptism, you see, brings us into union with Christ, with each other, and with the church in every time and place. Oftentimes, we see the church only through the lens of our own time, but that's not the capital C church. The capital C church is the church which God has instituted for all time, until the church triumphant is not needed anymore on earth at the fulfillment of God's promise that Jesus comes again. We are part of that entire history, both past, present, and future. And we're incorporated into that by virtue of our baptism. Through this sign and by the laying on of hands, we seal our common discipleship, our equality in Christ Jesus. From Galatians chapter 3, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. We affirm that there is one baptism in Christ as our basic bond of unity between the many communions and denominations that make up the Christian faith. Oftentimes I'm asked, you know, by a Presbyterian or a Catholic or whoever, you know, well, I was baptized in that tradition. Do I need to be baptized a Methodist as well? And what is my answer to them? No! Because baptism is the work of God. The work of God within the life of that person. And God's work is perfect. We don't redo on God's work. No mulligan. Ask a golfer. We are one by virtue of our baptism. We affirm that there is one baptism. From Ephesians 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Our oneness in Christ calls for that recognition that our baptism binds us together. From 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into that one body. So baptism is the common denominator in our Christian faith, which begins a lifetime of being formed day by day into Christ's image. New birth into life in Christ. It's the beginning of a process of growth through grace and holiness, in which God brings us into closer relationship with Jesus Christ and day by day shapes our lives into conformity with God's divine will. This process we call sanctification, and it's a gift of the gracious presence of the Holy Spirit. It requires a yielding on our part to the Spirit's power and presence. It requires a deepening love day by day for God and for our neighbors. So baptism is a doorway that leads to this sanctified life. You getting all this, Mark? Just checking, okay? Okay. Baptism also initiates us into a community of faith that prays for holiness. It calls us to a life of being fulfilled through God's gift. Baptized believers of the community of faith are obligated to manifest to the world the new covenant, which lives in loving relationship with God and strives to end all human estrangements. There are no conditions of human life that exclude persons from the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is fulfilled when the believer and the church are wholly conformed to Christ's image and life. Now, the church has been around for a couple thousand years, and we're still working on that, right? Individually and as a people. But we live into our baptism as communities of faith. We are all part of the United Methodist Church, and we share this journey and struggle together to understand what it truly means to be one in Christ Jesus. We have long had disagreements over issues within the church that span the entire history of the church, which is why there are so many denominations today. We have in the United Methodist Church, since its founding in 1968, disagreed over human sexuality issues. And these disagreements have increased to the point that some in our communion feel unable to remain in covenant. As Methodists, we believe that we discern the will of God through holy conferencing. We do that at the local church level when each year we gather to have a charge conference or a church conference where we review the ministries, we pray together for what God's will is for the church, and we make plans for how we go forward together. At the denominational level, every 4 years, the general conference comes together with delegates from across the United Methodist Church to be able to review God's call upon us as a people, to update our practices and our procedures. In 2016, General Conference gathered, and they voted to table all of the motions that came before that conference that dealt with human sexuality. They commissioned a group of individuals, clergy and laity, which membership spanned the entire spectrum on the issue of human sexuality. And this group put forth three plans, which were sent back to General Conference for their reflection and action. So, a special session of the 2016 General Conference will be held next month in St. Louis between February 23rd and 26th. They will look at and pray over the three plans that have been submitted. And there are several potential outcomes that I wish to make you aware of. The special session may accept one of the plans as submitted. It may modify a submitted plan prior to accepting it. It may suspend the rules upon the vote of the General Conference and construct a wholly new plan from motions from the floor. Or it may decide to enact nothing, continuing our current status quo. I ask that you pray for all the delegates that will be going into this very important meeting. I ask that you pray for our church. And I ask that you continue to discern within your own heart what it means to be baptized into one body in Christ Jesus. By virtue of our baptism, we are called to be part of this process of discernment. We are to pray, and we are to continue to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We understand that while we do not agree on issues such as human sexuality, we continue to be bound together in a covenant that is established and sustained by God's love of all of us. One thing I know for sure, there's so much that we do not know about what is coming. But this I know for sure. Barring the second coming of Jesus Christ, on March 3rd, we will gather together in this place of worship. And we will praise our God, three in one. We will come to Christ's table and we will share in the holy meal to which we are all invited. We will raise prayers to God. We will sing hymns together and listen to the word of God read and proclaimed. We will continue to seek God's presence through the Holy Spirit in our church and in our lives. And we will perhaps agree or disagree with whatever happens at the special session. But brothers and sisters, we will remain bound to one another and to the God we worship today and every day through our baptisms by water and the Spirit. Amen. Amen.